in the pod. We don't have a joke for this one.
We could have a joke.
Look,
if
it
you
takes
wrote one.
Yeah, it takes time. It takes time. And we exhausted the good ones.
Once upon a time, there was a pod. And inside the pod, there were various letters of the alphabet, including Q's in a pod.
That was weak. I didn't feel that one. No.
Yeah, like, I don't know, because there would be lots of other letters. Why would it just be Q's?
It would just be Q's, but there
A's
would be
in the
Q's
pod
too.
And B's in the
so,
pod.
Yeah.
So in the set, there are Q's in this set.
Yeah.
Among other letters.
Yes.
But we can't deny that according to this set, there are Q's in the pod. All right, fine. It's still not a good joke.
QED.
It wasn't really a joke.
Yeah, QED. Ah, I see what you did there.
All right.
But so who are we?
What's QED?
Thus it is, basically.
Yeah, it's a Latin phrase that's...
Yes, like, so mote it be, except scholarly.
Yeah, okay. it's sort of like for a theorem that's been proven.
So Amber, who are we?
We are a group of people who do a podcast.
What are our names?
Tom, Daniel, Amber.
What do we do?
Make a podcast.
What do we individually do?
Art, write, occultism, farm, teach, bank?
But, sort of.
Art, also?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
No, sorry. The
phone with laser
lasers?
Beat.
Yeah, it's
okay, let me do it again. Okay. Art, write, I forgot what I said, occultism?
Sure.
Farm, teach, laser beams.
Now, the funny thing is those are both things that I'm, like, if anybody does know me, those are the things I'd be known for, but
laser
I also don't
beams.
Do either of them very often anymore.
But what he does do is he collects Magic the Gathering cards.
True.
Yeah, I guess that counts as occultism.
Well, last week we said, week we talked about circumcision.
But in a podcast I edited, Daniel suggested, like, attraction. So, but I feel like we can bring circumcision in. I felt like circumcision could not hold an entire podcast.
Especially since
I didn't research it.
Well, there's not much to research.
Yeah.
I could have looked at pictures and told you some pictures, maybe. I don't know.
What?
Pictures of people accidentally cutting off people's penises for circumcision.
I'm not sure
that exists.
I'm sure it does exist. It's more like the cultural practice of mutilation without consent.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Except when you're, like, there is consent. It's just not your
personal consent. Yeah,
your parents' consent.
If you're a baby, you can't, like, consent to that.
My consent is the one that matters. If you're doing something to my body, it's my consent that should matter.
But when you're a child, you don't consider, if you're under 18, you don't consider their consent.
Right, but that's where we get into all these questions of, like, you know, is it if a child is born intersex, is it okay for the parents or the doctor to just randomly decide, well, we're going to cut this off, or we're going to snip that off, or we're going to sew this up?
True.
And there's a movement against that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that used to be the practice, is like the doctor just kind of got to say, and if, you know, it's like, oh, gee, that's a really long clitoris, I'm just going to cut it off.
Yeah.
It's not much of a jump. But I mean, like, if you think about consent with children, like, children might fully consent to running out in the street.
Right.
Right, but that harms that's harmful to their life. And
there's a big difference between, I do not consent to have my child burned to death in that fire, and I think that my child needs a tattoo on their face.
Yeah, actually, that's just about to say that, because that's exactly the sort of thing it is. There's a reason that you can't, you know, give your child or give your baby a face tattoo or a tattoo anywhere for, like, it's something that affects them permanently that they cannot undo and they can't say yes or no to, like, you know. It's just that in our culture
it's considered a medical necessity sometimes.
Well, not even that, like even though there's a tiny bit of, you know,
research
conflict between, you know, but there's no there are very few cases where you could call it medically necessary. Exceedingly few cases. Like,
that is true.
And most of those tend to come about in, like, you know, puberty, after, you know, a child has developed completely, and you know, those are really the only cases. So the rest of it has been like, well, it's not necessarily life-threatening. And it is kind of a harder thing. Like, you know, I was circumcised, of course, because, you know, Christ and Jesus. Because God really loves foreskins for some reason. Like, he's just foreskins. All about that shit.
I'm circumcised, I think, because of Kellogg.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, because that was a thing. Like, it you know.
And let me tell you, Kellogg thought we would be able to masturbate. We can masturbate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and it's one of those weird things where it's like, it definitely has a, like... It definitely changes, you know, your capacity to feel pleasure, because like a lot of nerve endings on the penis are in the foreskin, so cutting that off is definitely changing you. Of course, if you grow up with it, you won't ever know what you're missing because you didn't get that chance. But you know, and obviously penises still function just fine. But
I wonder, like, if there's a length of time. Lasting, like, study?
A longitudinal study of circumcision?
Yeah, or, well, no. Or you mean like how long people can last while having intercourse? I'm sure they could, but there is a lot of difficulty in actually getting studies on sexuality funded.
That's true.
Because, you know, if you can't sell Viagra, why do it?
But yeah, that would be one of my questions. If you're uncircumcised and you have extra nerve endings, do you last as long?
Well, but that's, you know, given...
Just curiosity. Given, like, it's not bad it's if they don't,
right,
you know?
No, but it is, like, and I don't... But it is also, unfortunately, like, a little subjective. Like, I have had a lot of instances of, you know, lasting way too long. And
yeah, there that's
too.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know... There are a lot of reasons for that. Like, actually, you know, if you masturbate in a specific way, like, it can actually make it more harder for you to experience climax by having penetrative sex.
Yeah,
which, you know, it's just because, like, your body gets used to a specific type of input and you have to actually, like, take time to train yourself away from it. So, like, that can be a factor. It definitely could be done, and it's a sort of study that really should be done. It's just kind of hard to get going.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the Kinsey Institute isn't all about that.
There might have been a study about it, we just haven't seen it.
Yeah, if I find one, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, no, and, you know, there's also that issue of a lot of... That kind of falls into the realm of, like, sociology studies, and a lot of those have that difficulty of, you know, they're being done on campuses and generally from actually relatively small types of you know, sample sets.
That is the issue. A lot of studies are just done on college campuses. So you're really saying, like, rather than all women are like this, like, upper class white women are, like, who are between 19 and 21 have trouble climaxing when they have sex, rather than actual women. Like, I would like to know about the 59-year-old black woman who's had 3 kids. Does she climax easily? I don't know. I know how Muffy climaxes.
Right.
Muffy.
Muffy is my white girl name.
Also, Tom, white college students are also people.
No, I've been on Tumblr, and I can tell you for certain that white college students are not people.
Aww.
Just let me tell you that. I think I can tie this all together now.
Okay.
With the stated topic.
Of circumcision.
Attractiveness. I have encountered several women that are like, I would not be with a man who is uncircumcised. It's like a scared turtle. I want nothing to do with that. It's like some kind of venomous worm.
That's just a social thing, I'd imagine, because that's just what they've seen in porn or pictures
which
or everything.
It actually hits right on the head of it. Like, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. If you've... I remember the very first time I ever saw an uncircumcised penis, like, if you don't know that's even a possibility, and if you grow up, you know, only seeing your own penis, you're probably never going to know.
Yeah.
But no, there was like it was a pornography magazine of some sort, and it was just a picture of a woman with, she was like kind of kneeling, obviously, like, you know, performing fellatio or something, and she had the dude's, like, foreskin kind of spread out over her face. And I remember seeing that and being like, wait, there's not an... So, of course, you know, as a young preteen or whatever, like that fostered a lot of hours of, like playing with it, trying to be like, so how was that even possible? Because I didn't even know what circumcision actually was. You know, it's another one of those things where if
people... It's not silly putty. Like,
right, right. Like, how, there's not that much skin there. How, you know.
How many children don't know, like, are circumcised and didn't know that that's not, like, why they were born?
For
exactly.
the longest well, actually, time, I didn't really understand what circumcision was. I'm like, I would hope no one would dare take a scalpel to my penis. And then I'm like,
well, yeah, because, like.
That's why it looks. Yeah. Oh my god!
Yeah, if you only ever hear it described like the way it would be described in popular media, you know, Mel Brooks's comedy statements in Men in Tights, like, it still doesn't actually give you an idea of what happens, because, like, it's all, the joke is always that you cut a bit off the tip.
Yeah.
Which isn't actually what's going on there.
The glands is still there.
Right.
Hopefully nobody's cutting your glands.
I'm sure in some cultures that happens.
I would hope not.
But, you know, in the same way that, like, excuse me, it is one of those things where, like that same thing is why it's very hard for some people to understand what's so wrong about female genital mutilation or female circumcision, because, you know, you barely have, culturally, there's barely an understanding of what circumcision is for, you know, the most part, because, like, not a lot of people think about it purposefully. And then on top of that, you're like, well, but it's not that bad on dudes, so how could it possibly be that bad on ladies? And then
you cut the clitoris off, and they need that.
Right.
That's the happy button.
And even if, like, it's still, you know, if it's not the clitoris, it's the labia minora sometimes, or sometimes even the labia majora, depending on the cultural thing. And, like, those are all horrible as well, because, like it's...
I mean, like, taking away pleasure, because that's what you're doing.
Right.
It's just hygienically terrible. Like, you're going to get some infections, because your body has evolved those parts that way
to have
keep
a purpose.
You
intact
and happy and safe.
And you know, And it is funny that is, when you get back to the purpose of it culturally, it's always to deprive pleasure. I don't know. Even having access, you know, I've sure I told the story before of like one of my first coloring books was actually an anatomy coloring book, because my mother was going to nursing school, so we just had this like hardcore like anatomy textbook that, you know, helped you memorize because you were supposed to color code things as you go through them. Even having access to that, it was still like very confusing seeing an actual vagina like opened up. You know, for the first time, just because, like, you either, the diagrams you always get of these things, it's either like the ant farm or the weird ant head looking thing of like the uterus and the ovaries and all that, or you know, you just kind of see them from the front and it's like, oh, well, it kind of looks like Fred Durst's chin, but you know, actually like seeing all the bits and parts that are in there, like, it was thoroughly confusing at first, trying to make like the combination or make the comparison between the diagrams and what's actually there.
That's your point.
And that's
they're
even
more complicated than male parts that are kind of like there and sticky out.
I don't think so. I don't think
that's true.
You know, I mean, there's definitely a fair amount more going on, but I think it's way more just that, you know, you don't even in the sex ed, when you get the diagrams, like, you're never going to see what a vulva looks like. You're going to see the ovaries and the vaginal canal and you know, the
cleft
uterus.
Part.
No, you never see that either, usually. It, like, the diagrams don't tend to have that. But then, you know, when they go to show the male side, they have to, like, it's all...
Yeah,
it is all
there!
External.
Sticky-outy, as Amber put it.
But
it's true that there are probably, like, smaller bits and labels that I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, one thing that definitely helped me is, like, realizing, like how the both sets of genitalia develop in the embryo, because, you know, like there are direct correlations, you know, the labia majora are analogous to like the skin on the testicle, and you can actually, the seam that runs down your, you know, the middle of your testicles, like, that would be your vaginal opening if you develop differently. And of course, you know, the clitoris is essentially a penis. It's just, you know, develops in slightly different ways.
Your clit is basically all the goodness of the penis, but compactified.
Oh, yes. It serves no purpose other than pleasure, like for the purposes of procreation.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have, you know, a direct sort of thing, which is pretty cool. Yeah, even in ancient India, there is a lot of, like, clitoris envy.
Clits are pretty cool.
Yeah, better sex ed and possible, you know, don't circumcise everyone without Like, do your research at least.
Well, and that's the funny thing is, like, if it is being done for a religious purpose, then that's even more reason to, you know, wait until the person can make a decision.
Well, a lot of times, like, nowadays, the common myth is that it's a hygienic thing.
Well, yeah, that's what proponents, and even then, like, I'm pretty sure a lot of the proponents are just from the well, it was done to me, so it should be done to everybody. Because, you know, if you do make this realization, like, sunk cost fallacy again, if it happened to you and you have to, you know, be okay with it, then it's very hard to, like, you know, be like, well, but why does he not have to do it?
Yeah.
He's my spawn. Shouldn't his penis be like my penis?
Oh, yeah, that too.
You're joking, but that's how America works, Amber.
Yeah, that's a deadly serious thing for dudes because dudes are fragile as fuck.
Aww.
Although, I don't know if I want, like, my older brother has spoken to me that one of his sons apparently has a very large penis proportional to the rest of him. And they're like, I don't even know how that happened. How is he like that?
Because genes, there's a lot of variation.
I guess we don't know.
I don't know. I never had the conversation.
I know. I would just, I don't know.
Yeah, but, I don't know either.
And I wouldn't even be that surprised if it isn't just like standard procedure in some hospitals, to just, you know, do it.
Because your baby's fresh. Want us to cut his dick a little bit?
Right.
You know, no pressure. But I do know that a lot of anti-circumcision, I guess circumcision opponents, bring up that Jewish circumcisions often introduce a lot of bacteria to the baby.
Yeah, actually, they're at least yearly, there's a case of, you know, I think
like
moil is the term.
Yeah, moil.
Either AIDS or herpes outbreaks or syphilis or whatever the person has, because in the tradition, the person is supposed to, like remove it with his mouth, so there's direct contact.
Like,
in
my Hebrew brothers, I love you. There's a lot you do that's good. Maybe the moil shouldn't be a vampire dick sucker.
Well, no, but that kind of gets to, you know, a lot of our recent topics of, you know, what preserving traditions and preserving elements of culture,
like
at what, because clearly there's no. Unless you're convinced that your sky daddy absolutely requires you to do this, there's no good reason to do it that way.
So circumcision wasn't common amongst people who weren't Jewish until recently, vaguely.
There are some other cultures that do it.
Okay. Yeah, but a lot of it is like some cultures,
like,
you know, see our media.
Historically do they do it?
In the Hebrew tradition, it's because God was pissed at Abraham, I think, for something. And that was what he demanded of him to, like, I'm a bad atheist because I don't know my Bible as well as I should, but
I know a lot of Old Testament traditions basically boil down to health.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't eat shrimp because, you know, because it is a filthy thing, but really because it can get red tide and you will die eating that seafood.
Which is an argument that's often made, but clearly almost every other culture on the planet has gotten by just fine without that particular.
The viruses of religion don't always make sense, but, like, they get passed on because for a portion, like, everyone died because they're Gentiles and they ate some shrimp.
Right.
We are Jews. We did not die. God looked down upon us.
Right.
Although,
like, I know with circumcision specifically, like, there was definitely, I don't know that it's as easy to make the argument that it's a health thing. Because if you think about, there would have been
some sand in there.
There would have been no antibiotics, no idea of sterilization. Because God, in all of his infinite wisdom, chose not to, like, you know, warn people about bacteria, which would have saved countless lives.
Bacteria are very small, and God's very busy.
It's true. But, no, sorry.
At the same time, so if you go back to the hygienic cleanliness issue, and you could imagine, like, religious-wise, maybe that's why they started doing it, because they didn't bathe as much then.
Well,
nowadays, that isn't an issue.
But you really don't see it in other cultures for that. I mentioned, you do tend to see it for religious reasons that don't have to do with health. Because, like, in the case of you know, Abrahamic religions, it's very specific. It's God was mad at somebody and demanded that be done to atone for, you know, whatever thing that he did.
Okay.
Like, that's pretty cut and dried. Like there's no sort of like I don't know. I don't even know how you would. It took humans forever to even make the connection that semen was, you know, actually
not
caused
blood.
Babies.
It is white blood that comes
water.
Out of my penis. What are you talking about?
Right.
And also, like with the health thing and everything, if it was actually issue, people would evolve away from it probably fairly easily.
Well, especially back when we actually would have been, you know,
developing.
In danger of dying from it.
Yeah.
Because that's the main thing. Is like if something doesn't kill you before you can reproduce, you're
mm-hmm.
not going to see evolutionary change from it very quickly.
True.
Which, again, is why herpes is still with us. It doesn't kill us, so there's really no pressure to,
yeah.
know, we don't have people being selected for that are resistant to it.
But I mean, like, in hygienic, that's why we're mostly hairless, partially,
mm-hmm.
right?
That is a theory that I've heard,
yes.
Yeah,
we don't, I don't think that's one that's settled, necessarily.
Okay.
Like, a lot of things like that. It definitely has some advantages for us.
It is really weird if you think about how the hair lies on the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I could redirect this back to attraction.
Oh,
yeah.
Attraction.
Yeah, no,
okay, because we definitely have, like, women have to shave their legs and underarms. Basically, like, below your eyebrows, you better be hairless in America or you're not an attractive woman.
Yeah.
Yep. Except in the 80s.
Yeah.
What?
Isn't it in the 80s? Like, I don't know, there are, like, big bushes.
Oh, well, that was just, it was
that
like...
That was the 70s, and I think,
70s.
That,
the
80s I think that was just because
it
of that,
change a little
like...
Bit.
We didn't
time
yet tell it. Them to, like, could you trim down there?
Yeah, like, that was still, it was still, like, in
yeah,
the same way that being
recent.
A hairy dude was, you know,
yeah.
so virile. Like that's a very culturally driven sort
yeah.
of sort
At
of
least,
thing.
Like, that area is fairly recently culturally have to
yeah.
be bare.
Although, but again, speaking, that's specifically
Egypt.
About America. Because, yeah, you do in a lot of cultures, like, it was relatively common to have women dilapidate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... You know, some of the oldest implements you find are still for, you know,
yeah.
related.
Well, Egypt, everyone plucked every hair, pretty much.
Right.
From, or at least anyone in
yeah,
the
like,
higher upper classes.
Yeah, but if you know you're a worker class, you don't have time to do that.
Right.
I was actually discussing colorism with Amber earlier, where in, like, basically cultures where you have a bit more melanin...
Mm.
They tend to prefer light-skinned people. And I said,
right.
and the reason that is, because if you have dark skin, that means you work out in the field. You're a laborer.
Right.
But if you can afford to stay inside, away from the sun, be like a white person, then you clearly are like management and you make more money.
Right, which kind of goes back to that goofy thing where our symbols of wealth and authority are always simultaneously symbols of being completely fucking worthless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like your skin is soft and unabraded, you don't have to wear clothes that afford you to carry around documents because you don't need to.
You have long
right.
flowing hair.
You can't, yeah.
Did you know that Taylor Swift apparently she always carries a purse which is empty, and behind her is a bodyguard who has her real purse that contains things.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Weird. But why an empty purse?
For the fashion of it.
Right.
She's rich enough that she can afford a man who carries her purse behind
right.
her.
Right, and he's already there to guard her, so he might as well be a pack mule also.
But feminine attractiveness is very much contingent on what you have so much money that you can be thin, you can afford the good food, and you can
right.
afford to exercise a lot. Whereas 100 years ago, you're really thin, you must not be able to get food. You know,
right.
being zaftig, that's what you want.
Zaftig?
Zaftig means like juicy, means like thick.
A thicker milkshake, as Pete Holmes would say.
Yeah.
Plus, for it, also, previously, attraction was often based off of childbearing abilities. So
yeah.
if you're fatter,
yeah.
you're more likely to be able to
that's true.
For a baby. And, like, the wide hips thing. Like, if you see some Renaissance-ish type paintings, some of them have, like, really weird proportions in hopes, like, because that's what people thought, you know,
right.
would be
right.
ideal for
right.
baby having.
Well, I don't know if you've discussed this on the podcast, but the big asses that are now prevalent. And when I grow up, I'm like... Oh, God, she has a big ass. Oh, that's terrible. They're like, no,
yeah.
it's so hot. I'm like, how's it hot? I thought we were against big asses. We're for big asses, then?
As long
right.
as you're not fat.
Yeah, that was the dichotomy, because, yeah.
Well,
like,
I definitely,
I
remember she was a TA or something
hmm.
at my middle school, and she had, like, just a like gigantic lower half. Like, mm-hmm. she could have had a bizarre form of gigantism just down there. Yeah. And she would wear stretch pants, and I'm like, there's no way I would hide that. Like, and apparently that was the thing. Because weird. I guess it's a childbearing thing. Mm-hmm. I guess. But it just looks so bizarrely yeah. disproportionate. But then again, I know Daniel and I prefer our women,
well,
you know, thinner, smaller breasts.
Yeah,
because I see women with huge breasts, and I'm like, you poor thing.
Right. And, you know, in my case, it's the whole, like, I know very specifically for me, the thing that turns me off about it is that it would be an impediment. Like,
yeah.
oh, if you were trying to run or chase something down, it would get in the way.
Right. And it's like
weird.
Peacocks where it's a big, bright, flashy bird.
Right.
Because I can clearly afford to be, you know, this garish because yeah. I'm otherwise really fit. And a lot of birds do that. Like, they'll have bizarrely long tails that prevent them from flying correctly, but
right.
look how fit I am if I can survive that.
But
right.
no matter how big your boobs are, they tend to get in the way anyways.
I imagine. But it, there's, like, there's just no... I imagine it's a very, you know, progressive
there's also,
sort of impact.
Like, with bras, how mm-hmm. culturally you have to wear a bra, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and... you get told that it's because it stops your boobs from sagging later.
Which apparently is not true.
Which is not true. I looked it up. Like, apparently, at least, like, they haven't done very many studies on it.
Right.
But wearing a bra can actually weaken
the connective
tissues.
Yeah.
Right, right. Because they don't ever have to
develop
resist.
To hold it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, it's also, like, I'm pretty sure the primary purpose of bustiers has always been to, like, to make this into a shape that men like. Like, that's...
I agree.
Well, I'm
like...
fine with, like, I'm glad there are sports bras, actually, because that seems comfortable
and
easier.
Right, like they, but also, like, sports bras are, you know, it probably took a while for them to develop because
yeah.
it doesn't, there's no push-up. Where's the cleavage go?
So, I don't know. I don't see that with sports bras. Like, I don't see much of a difference between them and, like, much else.
Huh.
Well, they...
That's me.
Yeah,
you were not of the bustier persuasion.
I know, but, like, I still exercise and run about.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
But
I think, you know, if you were pushing another cup size or so, you would bless the goddess for push-up bras.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't have breasts.
They're not push-up.
No, I'm sorry.
Push-up bras are different.
The opposite, yes.
Yeah, that would not be a good thing. If I put on a push-up bra, I would have breasts.
Yeah, no, me too,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
No, similarly, though, like I do, you know, buttocks tend to get to me. I like well-developed rear ends, and it's a similar thing.
Well-developed,
like,
but not big. Like, do you like big?
It,
do you
it,
like big
it depends.
Butts? You have to
a
tell
little
the truth
bit.
Here.
I can't lie. but yeah, no, but in thinking about it, like, it is still, like, that's also something that I tend to associate with, like oh, you can run. And
okay.
That.
Yeah, like, so that'd be, like, not you wouldn't necessarily want a fat ass. You'd want a
toned
ass.
Well,
and in general, like,
Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's,
you know, she's
awesome.
She has thighs that could break your head. Like.
Well, actually, that's if I don't like. I'm not into MMA in general, but,
right.
but after that, you know, her last big fight and she blew up everywhere. I ended up watching a lot of things, and, like, it is really interesting, like, watching, well, one, just the range of body types that you know, you see in female MMA fighters. But, yeah, like, they clearly have no trouble putting on muscle mass. Even, you know, there are a few that are clearly using steroids, but
yeah.
Chris Cyborg, like, you know, seriously, get off it. We want to see Ronda versus, you know, Cyborg at some point. But, yeah, no, they've all, like... You know, if you're training your body to have those muscles, you're going to have, you know, these insane things. And, like, there's one, her name's Rose Namajunas, I think. And, like, she looks like a twig. Like she's a featherweight, and she's very tall, which I imagine must be a disadvantage in a lot of cases. But, you know, when she goes to start putting people in leg locks and things, like the muscles just kind of appear. And it's really weird because, like, she looks like Christina. Like,
okay.
That sort of... You know, she has that sort of, like, thin frame. It's very, very odd. Yeah.
So basically, Daniel wants someone who'd be a challenge if he tries to hunt them.
Well, I guess it's like the idea that somebody could fight me off. That's okay. Something that like it ticks a box in my head that's like, oh, I like that fact. Not that I want to fight
but you want a partner for your zombie apocalypse.
That's probably kind of how it ends up being. I could fight this person could fight with me, or I know that that's an element of it. That's what my brain is looking for, in a lot of cases. It's probably also has something to do with why I like short hair. Which doesn't make sense because I prefer long hair on myself and it puts me clearly at a disadvantage.
I can see that. Except during the zombie apocalypse, what he does, he just grabs the hair and he just cuts it with a knife all at once.
Right.
It's sort of a badass thing to do.
But that's only at the climactic scene where I've decided, I'm done running away, and then...
We grieve for the sadness of the lost hair. Losing his nobility.
Yeah.
Right, because that's what that is. The ability to look like peacock, you don't have to work.
Yeah.
Speaking of, hair, how women have to be hairless, pretty much... Men pretty much have to shave in this time period, too.
Yeah. Or not shave at all.
Yeah, no.
There can be no middle ground.
Yes, I agree.
And you do have to remember, because our society is so male-dominated, men aren't generally under as much pressure to conform to any sort of thing. It's way more of a class thing. If you belong to a certain class, but it's perfectly fine and acceptable socially to be, a billionaire who dresses like a slob or has, an undeveloped body. It's just more confusing. If you're a dude, really that's your only two choices is either I'm going to shave every day or I don't want to shave too much, or, guess what? Stubble is in also, so I can do that if I want.
That's
true.
And the only equivalent we would have is if we were regulated the same way, it would be like, you have to have, restrictive things for your testicles to make them fit a certain shape or to get your bulge to look a certain way.
There probably are things.
Oh, those things
that
exist, but for men, they're an option. If I wanted to do that, I can, wear underwear that makes my bits more prominent in a specific way.
It is getting to be more of an option with girls, but...
I think you'd see underwear like that larger among the gay community, where it's men performing for men.
Right. It that does change, the dynamic a little. But it is still...
I'm just sort of extemporizing here. If you have men performing for men, they might either go like way butch, bear, masculine, or they might try to go kind of feminine twink.
Right.
But either way, you're trying to perform to a gender standard.
True.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you always are on some level. If you're interested in somebody else, whenever you try to engage in the dance, there is an element of it where you have to put yourself through hoops to try to seem attractive to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's just, with humans, we are way more complex. So the better you understand yourself, probably the less likely you're going to be, trapped by whatever your weird biology might say. It's possible to have different interests than just the baby hips must have that. That catches my eye.
Yeah.
I'm not into it, but it catches my eye.
Well, I think it might be beneficial if we said, what is attractive? Daniel, tell me about your most attractive woman. Up on the screen now I have the weightlifter Samantha Wright.
She's pretty hot
and totally badass.
Look at those arms. I remember when the first time that she became, because I remember these gifs.
Yeah.
That's a thing I've noticed that I'm into. I'm always pretty happy when I see ladies with, some definition in the arms, among other things.
I can respect that.
But look at that.
I wish I could be muscular, but I also don't want to put the effort in.
Which is actually 100% of what it is.
I don't know. When I was little, I might have tried, and I don't think I would have succeeded.
But that's the thing. It's like, what if, you didn't have, a Ronda Rousey didn't exist for you at the time?
True.
There would be no examples to, make you think, oh, I could do that.
I was very strong when I was little.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a biology thing, too. Even if you worked out,
Oh yeah, no. Like, some people can put on muscle and keep it way easier than others. Like I don't generally have to. I almost never work out, but I don't tend to have to do very much to get, you know, effects from it.
But like, we also have our two nephews. One of them has a six pack.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like three.
Jeans, yo.
His older brother
does not.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing. I'm like, does he do, like, pull-ups and sit-ups while we're not watching?
He's always running around.
Yeah.
It is just, like, that. Exactly. It's what genes are expressing.
It's so interesting, because he definitely has a different gene expression than his older brother.
Yes.
Who has your gene expression?
The poor bastard. So, what do you find attractive, Amber? Tell me about your attractive person.
It's harder to tell.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Amber. In front of your husband, who you're married to and love very much. Talk about...
I don't care. I don't care about this. You don't have to say me. You can say me.
I think it depends. Like, I definitely... Like, there's also a difference between finding someone attractive and finding someone that you'd actually want to date.
Oh, I understand that.
I think that's kind of what, when I mentioned this last time, like, that was probably what was going through my mind, because I always think of it as, like, the tyranny of attractiveness, because
like
there's a wide spectrum of attraction, and there are a lot of different components. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a model to explain it. It'd be sort of like there you have six different programs that do a similar function that create the effect of attraction, but they're all looking for slightly different things. So, you know, your one component of your brain is very heavily set on, like, oh, this, you know, looking for people who can pass the genes on. Like, that's always an undercurrent of it. But then, of course, you know, there are parts of your brain that are like, oh, but, you know, to successfully raise children, I need to be compatible with them, or they need to have, you know, skills capable of taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, the strength of those different things will be different for every person, depending on, you know, how they've developed themselves and what their gene expression is, and, you know, all kinds of factors. But the root ones are always the strongest. Like, you know, again, you know, you know, a girl in short hair walks by in a crowd, I will spot her immediately.
Will I, though.
right. But the thing about that, or the thing that always, like, I find terrifying about the concept is, like, so yes, you know, there are certain hooks that will immediately grab my attention, but they don't actually tell me any of the other important things I need to know. Like, she could be a neo-Nazi. She could be, you know, a Republican. She might, you know, rape puppies and then eat them.
She's probably a lesbian, at which point you want her more.
That's a different problem. statistically speaking, yes, it does tend to be that, you know, the people that catch my eye are probably not looking for me.
And what does that say psychologically, Daniel?
It says that really, like, I fucked up. If only I could get into, like if penises did it for me, I'd be set, because then I could just chase after twinks, and it would be... Which, actually, I don't know if that's an offensive term now.
I
apologize.
See,
when
I use twink and bear. Right. I think that's acceptable still. I think in an earlier podcast, I talked about, like, the dichotomy between, like, femmes and dykes, and I'm not sure if that was offensive.
I think I think, like, lipstick lesbian is now offensive.
But it's at least patronizing.
Maybe.
Yeah. And actually, like, that's a completely different topic that would be interesting to cover, is, like, how, you know, the gay community, those weird dichotomies of character class, almost, like, as you're allowed to be more mainstream and integrated into the culture, like, I think those are filtering out a little bit. Like, they're not as strongly...
At least you can, like, double class, right?
Oh, yeah, no.
Like a ranger,
always,
warrior.
Yes.
And it also, like, who you see, like, who you find, like, at least for me, because if I see, like, a girl with short hair and everything, like a punky girl, I'd be like, huh, partially because I wish I could do that, but I don't have the energy anymore.
Right.
I can see that.
You know? Be like, yes, I like her outfit. I wish I could have that. I've also had a weird interest in anyone who looks like me, which are hard to find.
Yeah, although that's...
black hair and blue eyed, though.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah. How is Christina?
Right. No, but that is, like, I know, you know, back when I was with Hannah, like, that was a discussion we'd have periodically. It was about how, like, if you're if you're mostly heteronormative in your attractivity spectrum for the same sex would tend to be like, or seems to often be like you're more attracted to people that look like you. Like, I'm sure I told the story about, you know, it was, oh, Jay Davidson as Ra in Stargate was like the first time I had one of those like, oh, who's that? Wait, boy, girl? I can't tell, but
you know, I definitely like, again, I'm heterosexual, but I saw the movie Cruel Intentions and I'm like, Ryan Phillippe. Yeah. Huh.
Who's he? Okay.
I'll pull him up on the screen. Yeah. But he's a feminine guy. And if he were a girl in that movie, ooh. But
right.
he's a guy.
Yeah.
Something I did want to touch on is I know that females in our culture, especially being chemically swayed to which they find attractive because of birth control pills.
Oh,
so
yeah.
instead of having, I want that guy to inseminate me, your bodies are like, you want a guy who can cuddle with you and take care of babies.
Right.
So, you know, you don't want the big burly guy. You want me.
now I do like, see, I always
I'm
wonder
just,
about
like,
that. Like how much of that is that, you know, the in the same way that like you can, you know, your stomach has its own neural net and actually like will communicate with you and try to tell you when you're not hungry anymore. And you can vary, you know, a lot of people develop eating disorders because they
shut off. Or...
Yeah. Essentially like desensitize themselves to the effect. And like, I think a part of developing as, you know, a conscious individual is, you know, being able to, oh yeah, no, I can, yeah, he's kind of pretty in some aspects.
Right.
Not my type,
because
he doesn't look like me at all.
It's true, he has your chin though, Tom.
But
okay,
yeah, no, I can see that, yeah.
Chin. Right.
He also has your hair color.
Okay.
Yeah, so, well, theory
like
confirmed.
Eyebrows.
Theory confirmed.
His eyes are kind of tiny, though.
Okay.
Oh,
don't you criticize my man crush? He's not my man crush anymore.
Now, the important thing to remember is that he looks that good because he does have an entire like team of people
that
help him look like that.
And that's another thing that skews what we find attractive because we no longer are capable of finding what's actually in front of us attractive. We want the Hollywood image of it.
Well, it's not that we. That's another those things. Like I don't entirely think is people's fault. Like I do fault the. You're right. It's. You tend to imprint on what you're presented with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I know we've talked before about how, you know, one of the best effects the internet has is getting you normalized to, like, the wide range of naked bodies. Like, I know, I remember, you know, the early days on 4chan, you would have a lot of, you know, girls posting pictures of themselves, and a lot of them were not conventionally, you know, like, they were often more heavy set. And the thing that was surprising about it was the oh, no, that's nice. I like that.
I don't know how personal we want to get here, but I definitely feel like a lot of my attraction is sort of a reaction against 80s porn.
Yeah,
I mean, not directly, but the women I find attractive are not going to look airbrushed. Like, for instance, I find Garfunkel and Oates to be two of the most attractive people I've ever encountered because they're thin, witty, they're, you know, they're cute. But in an unconventional way, like Ricky Lindholm recently tweeted, "I can't believe I've ever been asked to play an alien in something." And I'm
No, they definitely like fit into their own special category. Where it's
But if they were walking down the street, like even if I didn't know them, be like, "Hey,
I would
zoom right in on them." But I can be around supposedly beautiful women, and I'm like, "You have makeup on." I don't connect. It's like
There is also the effect of like that. It is a demonstrative effect where you even if you are presented in life with the same people that you were watching on the screen, because your brain is so used to what you're seeing on the screen, you do not have the same reaction to like the physical presence.
I can see that,
which is why like a lot of times when they're doing like intimacy therapy, like one of the first things they kind of have people do is stop watching all porn at all and just spend enough time with each other to like, you know.
I was listening to one of Chris Ryan's podcasts. I think it does Tendentially Speaking. I don't know, but
I've heard the name. He's not in my site.
He wrote some important book, Sex at Dawn. He wrote that.
Oh yes. Should be listening, but it turns out that if you're lonely and single, listening to sex podcasts just makes you depressed.
Shocking.
Aww.
Okay, but basically he said, well, he had a guest on. I don't remember who she was now, but she said that, you know, obviously when you sexually climax, you have a were a burst of oxytocin.
Yes.
You basically pair bond, but you're pair bonding with the screen. You're pair bonding with your computer. And, I mean, I do see people who have their square-headed girlfriends. Right. I understand that.
What?
Square-headed girlfriend.
The laptop?
The laptop, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that exact conversation came up on something else I was listening to, another podcast. I don't recall which one, but it was that same discussion about, like, it was a Reddit post in RSX asking about, you know, why you feel, you know, the shame effect of, you know, after masturbating as opposed to, like having sex, and why that was a different thing. And that was one of the things people were talking about, is, like, whether or not it had to do with, you know, your brain releasing different chemicals, or that just that, you know, you didn't releasing those chemicals for, you know, bonding, and then having nothing to bond to,
so yeah, causing the negative that.
Reaction.
I think a lot of it is, like, how you're raised and things, because I don't know, like, and sex ed and things, because when I was younger, I definitely had a severe guilt reaction after masturbating.
Yeah.
So, and I think it was just personal issues.
Yeah, what's kind of funny is, like, I never did, actually. Like, strangely, that wasn't a thing. Which, again, is weird, because I just had a lot of... For me, all the shame that I picked up was about, like, actually feeling attracted. But it was, like... I don't know. There was a complete separation in my head between, you know, masturbating and responding to porn and, like, an actual physical person. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it took a very long... I remember having, like, a tear-stained conversation with, you know, my first long-distance girlfriend, or my first actual, like, you know, relationship, of being, like, sorry that I was physically attracted to her and wanted to do sex things to her. Like, that was almost an exact conversation I had, because in my brain, that was the part is, like, oh, but I can't even feel these for you if I don't have permission to in the first place. Like, that, you know, the hooks were that.
Sort I understand of
weirdly
that.
Weirdly ingrained.
Yeah. I definitely have encountered in my relationships that guilt is hot. Like, I've known women, I've dated women who they definitely wanted to feel guilty. And when I'm like, I don't feel guilty about what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of don't think you should. That relationship over. We're done.
Oh, wow.
You mean that you can't appease my, you can't, like, encourage my Catholic guilt? No, not really. I'm cool. Like, you do you. You have fun.
Right. Well, it similarly, like, that was... Once I got over it, I was completely over it. And,
yeah,
like, I was never interested in, you know... Or one of the reasons that things like S&M and all that do not interest me at all is because it's not... I don't know. I don't have any of that, like, sort of shame or guilt-type feeling about it anymore. So it's kind of distressing when somebody else wants to pretend to or wants to feel that. It's like...
It's, like, a lot of work, too.
Diametrically opposed. Oh, yeah, but...
Like, I'm sorry to put it that way, but, like...
Yeah, cross purposes.
Like, I want to have sex. I don't want to, like, make you into furniture.
Right.
I have only so much time.
It's kind of a, you know, a thing. But that's also a very good reason as to why, like, it's probably a really good idea to have sex with the person you're going to marry before you marry them.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't get stuck, you know, having this horrible...
Although that can happen anyways to some extent,
if people, like, develop different tastes or something, but that's different than, you know, being completely sidelined, like oh, we've never kissed before, and now, oh, it turns out that you just need to be spanked and like stand in the corner and watch me, and then I need actual cuddling.
Personally, I don't really have any, like, pressing fetishes, and so all those, like, paraphilias are really strange to me. It's just like, I don't know why you're making this so complicated.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, that kind of, there was a really good discussion on Citizen Radio earlier this week about, I don't remember how they got on the topic, but it was something about, you know, how sex positive has kind of been hijacked as an excuse to be awful now.
Yeah, everything is.
Yeah. Well,
go on.
Yeah, the story specifically was, like, this group had, I don't remember what it was, like, it might be in Seattle, and they have, like, a naked run or something. Mm. And this dude who was a part of the organization, like, decided that it would be a good idea to advertise it by just being naked at a cafe. And he convinced a cafe to let him be there. But it was essentially, you know, no warning. So you know, this woman was just in the cafe. And then all of a sudden, there was just confronted with this naked dude's ball sack because he's just walking around like that. And then, of course, like his entire argument of being mad at her for being upset about it was like, oh, you're not being sex positive. And like, you know, it turned out that he was actually kind of like, that was his fetish was, you know, because he would show up at these meetings for these sex positive organizations and talk about how, like, you know, his strategies for flashing people and you know, that's the spoiler alert. That is the opposite of what sex positive means. It's not not an excuse to be, you know.
That's terrible. Mm-hmm. And not surprising.
Like, consent is the thing then, you know.
Sort of piggybacking on that. I've seen a lot of people who think using sex positivity that they can shame people into fucking them.
Oh, like, yes.
You're not attracted to me. What are you, fatphobic? What are you, transphobic?
Right.
And it's, I mean, this flares up on Tumblr all the time, like, people saying, like, I'm not transphobic just because I don't want to fuck you.
Right, although, you know, default disclaimer, Tumblr is a very special microcosm.
Yeah, I decided before watching this, we watched a funny video about cults, because that's what we do here. And I was watching it, and I'm like, oh my god, Tumblr might actually be a cult. Because they use a lot of these strategies, like, as a hive mind. So.
Unintentionally,
but that doesn't because it works.
Right. Yeah. Well, kind of like
but
we were discussing.
But they don't do
about
the
that.
Whole like kill for me, die for me thing.
They would if they could. Some of them would if they could.
Yeah, that goes back to more like it's the problem of like that is the machinery we all have.
Yeah,
and you know,
and convergent evolution. Like eventually, you're going to figure out. All this cult stuff, even if you don't know about cults, eventually you're going to use it because it works.
Right, well, because it is attached to the basic machinery that allows society and socializing to work. It's just kind of hijacking it, or very similar to, like, you know, again, using chips. Like, you never find that combination of salt, fat, and sweet in nature, and because of that, it freaks our brain out. And similarly, you know, cult structures are just refinements of... you know, the basic machinery that makes you work. It's like hot wiring it to make it do something.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and you can't really defend against it other than being aware of it, because if you take that away, then you know, we're just ants. And or
but we also have people like deals. Pickup artists who think that they can exploit this machinery. Like, they'll nag women, oh, now I have danger self-image, and only I can give that back to you.
Which
and that
is,
stuff shouldn't work. I think women are just—it's
the basic like placebo effect thing. It's inducing a false stress and then providing a relief from it. Because first you make them feel bad by negging them, and then you make them feel good and associate yourself with, you know. Actually, all addictions work the same way. That's what nicotine and caffeine do to you. They make you feel terrible, but then they make you feel slightly better than terrible.
Aww.
So.
All right. I think I have another point. You know, we still have some time here. Daniel, have you ever dated someone who was not your type?
Yes. Well, actually, the weirder thing is, like, I've had a few relationships with people, like, very kind of brief relationships with people that I kind of describe as, like, on paper, I should have been really into them, but just wasn't for some reason. And it wasn't anything that I would have been able to put, you know, like, a finger on. It's like... like, if I were ticking off the boxes, all of the features would be there that I should be into, and just wasn't. And you know, in both of those cases, it was sort of a, like, I tried it out, and it wasn't terrible, but it also did not feel the same as when I was actually, like, attracted to the person. Mm-hmm. And again, like, there, I wouldn't be able to tell you what it was.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, no, that was just it. And in both cases, we're kind of like that, where, like, it ended up being... That's also how I know, like, you know, it's... You can totally have sex with somebody and have it be really fun and also not be, like, something you're super into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just ends up kind of being, like, the difference between, like, oh, well, this is fun, but you know, the connection thing isn't there, which is kind of why, like, you know, casual sex... specifically isn't interesting to me, because it doesn't actually give me what I want.
I can definitely see that. I don't think I would really work with casual sex. Oh, well, I mean, as a teenager, I kissed a lot of girls. I think I have a spreadsheet. I think the numbers up to 30 people I've kissed or done additional stuff with.
I like the idea that you would still be maintaining this or like going back and like, you know, making like a rather than a family genealogy.
So. Anyway. Well, no, sure. Honestly, it started because I was at a co-ed sleepover with, you know, the girl I was dating and some of our friends. And we started talking about like, oh, how many people have you kissed? And they're like, well, Tom is a slut. And so they're like, well, how many? So we sat down and we wrote it all out. And then once I had all this information written out, I'm like, well, I need an Excel spreadsheet of this.
Right.
This is not clear enough.
Data.
Data. I have data and I need to put it in a better format. So I still have it somewhere.
Tom uses Excel to randomly create data sheets like you're supposed to. I use it to plan out gardens.
This is true.
House layouts.
I did want to say something about you, Young. Okay. Because I know I instantly was interested in you. Like, I stalked you on the internet a little bit. Because you had the last name Hawkinson, my last name was Quackenbush. There was a bird situation there. You also had a cute picture. And so when I actually saw you in person, I'm like, oh, she's still cute. I said a couple words to you. But I was attracted to you and I thought you were attracted to me. And then our first date, I like touched your hand and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so attracted to her. I cannot believe how attracted I am to this person. I don't, like, I legitimately do not remember being that attracted to somebody by touching them.
Yeah, that was weird.
Did you feel that way at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was such like a... And then I spent like a year of being like, I loved you. And I'm like, what do I like so much about you? I like you so much. And then it was like the animal in me understood the animal in you. That sounds way more sexual than it was.
No, you just need to put it, you know, to like some meatloaf and it's fine.
Yeah, I would do anything the musician, for love, but I won't do that.
I think it's a Nickelback song too.
No.
Oh, no. No. Nickelback isn't a band. Yeah, they're that's social disease.
It's a Kaufman-esque.
Nickelback is not that bad.
They really are.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm going to cover...
There are some good Nickelback songs.
I will not let you interrupt me to defend Nickelback.
Yeah, we have... You've said that. That's a thing I know
care.
About you now. I know that you think this.
Everyone
and it
knew it before.
Okay, I'm gonna piggyback on that a little bit.
Don't forget. I'm gonna remember this.
It's terrible. But anyway, you decided that you had social anxiety disorder and started getting that treated, and suddenly you became the Amber I know now. And I'm like, yes, this is the Amber. This is what I was attracted to all this time. But I definitely think that I saw that before. But it definitely occurred on a different level. And prior to you, I definitely dated more complicated women. I'm going to go with that. I think that's diplomatic. And so you were easy and you were simple in a nice way. But
most
you see what I mean?
People wouldn't agree with you on that. I don't think
that you were easy?
At least other people I've dated wouldn't agree with you.
They're idiots. I legitimately think that you had exceedingly poor taste in men prior to me. Glad you gave me a chance. This one. But you did. And I definitely know of the 30 girls I kissed, a lot of it was, wait, you like me? I guess I like you just okay then. Like, being attracted to me was like the number one thing that I wanted in a girl.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. Like, if I could go back and sit younger Tom down and be like, all right, kiddo, you don't want to do that. You don't really need to be in a relationship. Here are girls that are actually kind of worthwhile, but otherwise just... don't do it.
Yeah, but it is hard to like get to that point, given how, you know, this is another of those things where education wise, you're just sort of like expected to figure it out on your own and you're expected to be lucky enough to have the series of events that will let you learn like what you want and what you need, as opposed to just like, you know, clutching to anything that fills the void and you know, desperately holding on to it.
Yeah, I think dating from damage, like, I'm also broken. You seem broken. We could be broken together. That's almost like being whole, right?
That's a terrible place to be in. It's also a terrible place to be, like, you know, this is like a thought that I tend to have often is, you know, the I know enough about myself to know that I would probably make you miserable, so I'm not even going to remotely try to pursue that.
Yeah.
Which it sometimes like this is that's the danger of being self-aware, is like sometimes it's hard to tell if you're just, you know, being negative about yourself in a new way, or if you're, you know, making an accurate judgment. It's just another one of those little...
When I was dating Melanie, she was away for the summer, and I became very attracted to another woman, Jess. Do you remember Jess?
Yes.
Who resembled Felicia Day.
Yeah. I can see that.
And, you know, she was adorkable. She was definitely very interesting. I just met Jess, and I was deeply crushing. And over Skype, I confessed this to Melanie. Melanie is like, you're not going anywhere. You know, it's okay that you have a crush. Nothing's going to happen. And I had a breakdown, and I'm like, crap, I have such abandonment issues. Yeah. That's exactly what this is. And I'm like, yes, now I've identified the demon. Things are good. And then subsequently, every time I'm like, wait, I feel this. Am I actually feeling like recovery, or is this just like a different facet of that neuroses?
Well, and that's the thing, is like, it is another one of those, knowing is better than not knowing, but it also doesn't actually, like, it does help you, but it doesn't help you. Like, you still have to endure it, and you can't necessarily turn it off. It's just, you're aware of what's happening, and you can say, oh, I know what this is, and you can, you know, you have a little bit of extra leeway in trying to deal with it.
Yeah. And I mean, I wasn't shaming, but yeah. I did bring up how I had exes who needed guilt.
Yeah.
But once the abandonment issues, I'm like, that's what you are. Like, a lot of things where I'm like, that's hot, I'm like, I don't care about that anymore. Like the closest things I had to fetishes just sort of evaporated, because I'm like, I got nothing there.
Well, and it's actually really normal to have your, you know, the things that you're interested in change over time as you develop as a person. Like, that just is like it's a sign of you developing as a person, is that, you know, what you're interested in will change because, well,
yeah,
you know,
but
similar...
things that excite you,
right?
Now it's like, I can't connect to what that is anymore. That's gone.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly like when you learn something, you know, like when you first learn something that's really interesting to you, you'll try to devour everything you can about it. Mm-hmm. But once you've learned about it, it doesn't interest you in the same way, usually, because you've learned the thing. There may be new things to learn about the thing, but it's, you know, it changes. Like, the need is different. Like, you meet the need, and then it can be let go, essentially.
Yeah, I think it's a... I'm going to go with Bruce Lee, because I think he's a wise sort of man. What he said is that you have more to fear from a man who has learned one... who's done one punch 1,000 times than a man who's done 1,000 different punches.
Right.
I was going to say, like, you know, climbing one mountain 1,000 times than climbing 1,000 mountains. And I think that in my adolescence, I was... like, oh, a new mountain. This mountain bores me, and I'm going to climb that mountain. Right. Nope, this mountain has a little bit of a cliff. I'm done with it. And so I sort of, you know, I was like a pinball of dating.
Well, it also goes back to that idea of, like, if you don't know what you want, you can't fulfill the need. And because of that, you'll keep trying to get whatever's close enough and never be satisfied because it's not what you're actually after.
Amber, did you want to say something?
Well, with the mountain thing, though, you get experience from each mountain, though.
Well, that is true. The more relationships you have and the more interactions you have, the more you either know what you want or know what you don't want, or you know, anything in between. So it is good. It's healthier, probably, to, you know, actually socialize as much as you can. But but you don't necessarily have to.
And if you do, you should really think about it if you want to take your pants off.
Yeah, that always. Yes, definitely. Like, above all, don't do things that you'll regret. Like, or, you know, try to do things that you won't regret. And if you're, you know, if you won't feel regret about doing something kind of risky, I, you know, sort of think that's fine as long as you're not putting anyone else at danger. But definitely, like, if it's not what you actually want to do, don't do it.
Yeah.
And if you do actually want to do it, you know, don't make sure you're in a place where you won't feel guilt about it, or you know, do it under circumstances that won't cause you to feel guilt. Because the worst thing in the world is to, like, ruin something you do like by you know, doing it in a way that makes you regret it.
After one of my breakups, after a big breakup where I felt pretty damaged, I went on OkCupid thinking that this was a low consequences sort of getting out there dating. And there was this one woman who was a 99% match, and I'm pretty sure she was a 99% match because she scoped me out and changed her answer so she'd be a 99% match.
What? No, nobody does that. No, certainly not, at all. Not every time they find a new person they're interested
that's
in.
That's lunacy. Where did I come up with that? Anyway, so I was talking to her, and in conversation, I did not feel any real connection to her, but I'm still like, well, 99% match, even though you're not really, like, physically my type, and our conversation's just sort of not that great. Maybe. Like, I won't go on a date, but we can talk. Mm. And then she tried, I guess, the, you know, unhinged female version of pickup artist, and started trying to tell me these stories of, like, oh, woe is me. Which one involved how she was a world-class chef, but her boss, like, sexually harassed her, and so she was trying to leave her job, but then her cat scratched her arm, and it swelled up. And it just got bigger and bigger. And I had this moment where I'm like, this woman is actually legitimately dangerous to me. Like, she will hurt me if she ever sees me in person. And so I blocked her wherever possible, because I couldn't even do the whole, like, I can't talk to you anymore, because I would have given her an inroad. And so eventually she figured out that she couldn't contact me. She made a new email account so she could be like, I just don't know why you don't want to talk to me anymore, and tried to, like, do the guilt thing, and I'm like...
Yeah, pro tip, the only way to deal with that sort of thing is to not engage. Like, you can't wrap yourself up with trying to, like, explain to them why you can't engage. This is something women probably have to learn way, way sooner than dudes do. But, yeah, like, don't, you know, it's perfectly fine to go cold turkey, and, like, it's probably the only good option you have. Because you can't logic somebody into reason, or you can't logic somebody into you know, accepting your viewpoint.
But I definitely remember feeling bad that this woman was a 99% match for me, and I'm like, this dangerously unhinged woman who could do me physical harm is a 99% match. Mm. What is wrong with me as a person?
No, well, a different pro tip. On OkCupid specifically, like the way you have to look at it, the enemy percentage is probably accurate. The friend or match percentage, all it's telling you is that there's a chance you could be compatible. Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, it doesn't work both ways with that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, most of Norway is my soulmate.
No, they're so awesome. I get a lot of Germans too.
Yeah. That was part of why, like, my joke on OkCupid specifically was, like, you know, if we have a high match percentage, you probably live at least 2,000 miles away, and it's because I would keep getting, you know, these Scandinavians.
I wonder if there's, like, that's a good way to find out where you should be living.
Maybe. Well, yeah.
That's not a terrible idea, and I bet that they have some sort of way to look that up.
Yeah.
Because OkCupid's all about collecting data and playing with it.
Used to be. I was on there way back when it was, like, a tiny subsection of the Spark, like, before the original creator quit. And what was really annoying to me is, like, he basically sold the Spark to create Spark Notes, or sold Spark Notes itself as a thing to Kinko's, I believe. And he would just started doing, he was about to do, like, a sort of personal vlog sort of thing about tantric sex, and quit right before, because he broke up with the person he was going to do the whole project with. And then OkCupid blew up, and, like, yeah, it had a good run before it was bought by Match.com, who actually currently owns it, and is why it's, like, become, you know, very, way more of a give me money sort of.
It is true. I think it was Match.com. It was either that or what's the other big dating site that you're supposed to pay for?
I can't remember there, but they all had a similar name.
All right. Let's go with eHarmony. Like,
oh, eHarmony. eHarmony.
Yeah, it might have been eHarmony. It was either Match.com or eHarmony, where the guy who, like, made the website, he's like, girlfriend, you should join the site, just so there are more people there. And she met the guy that she left him for.
Yeah.
Like, in short order. So he's sort of like, well, I'm sad that I lost her, but it works! It works! So, that's sad. So that's other pro tip. Don't make a dating site and then make your girlfriend join it.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, I have weird views about relationships, but to me that always tends to be a case of like, well, it clearly wasn't going to work anyways.
That's
or
true.
There were clearly problems there anyways.
Yeah, I definitely, looking back on my dating history, there's no one that I would have wanted to end up with. Yeah. Like, looking from my perspective over here, it's like, each and every one of you, we would have made each other miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, my ex is a lesbian, so that clearly wasn't going to work out.
Yeah, that's just factually correct.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, I like her a great deal. She's one of my favorite people, but she likes women, and I like women. You'd think that means we have something in common. Not enough.
Yeah, that's why, like, it's always, like, one of the saddest things in a world is dudes who think that, like, you know, dating lesbians would be awesome, and it's like, wait, no, they don't want you in there.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing for you there.
Yeah. Chasing Amy lied to you.
Yes.
I think that's, like, a huge chunk of, or was a huge chunk of, like, Cameron Esposito's set was about, you know, the dudes that would go out of their way to be like, oh, I wouldn't want to sleep with you! And then and she's like, wait, no, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's 100% the point.
I do know, in college, there was this gay guy who was older than me and trying to come on to me.
Did you punch him, bro?
I did not punch him.
I would have punched him and then like burned myself.
If he is trying to come on you, I might punch
him. That's fair. That
would be fair. It didn't go, but he once said, and I remember this is a direct quote, why would I want to do push-ups into some girl's pussy? I'm like, well, there's your problem. You're doing it wrong. That's not at all how you do it.
Yeah,
it's more of a sliding motion.
Yes.
Yep.
In and up. Back and to the left.
Well,
It depends on angle.
Or
but,
you know,
him saying that, it's like, that's just not how you do it.
Well, that kind of gets back to that basic thing, too, of like, you know, white people... white people by default.
I
meant heterosexual people. Like they tend to be so confused by the whole, you know, the gay thing, and doing air quotes. But it's just that basic thing of like, no, it's as simple as, do you want to do that to somebody else?
Yeah.
If not, then you're not the thing.
I can't remember who said this, but some lesbian said, like, whenever a guy is like, well, how do lesbians have sex? I always feel really bad for his girlfriend.
Oh, Cameron Esposito.
Cameron Esposito, really? Because it's like,
yeah.
You go downtown. You just
get
down there. But really, it's not all about the penis.
No, really, ideally, you know, that can be a relatively smaller section of it. It's fine.
Not for you, Daniel. It's not a smaller section for you.
I was going to say shorter, but the joke still holds.
Yeah, it's good.
Duration. Look, it's not my fault that you know, giant penis and
they needed four moils to circumcise Daniel.
it'll just be like this Paul Bunyan-esque legend of the entire town.
You couldn't use more than one moil.
Well,
you know,
if it was large enough.
Foreskin is a hula hoop.
Yes, yeah, that would be... Yeah, no. Come on, you've surfed the internet. I'm sure you know.
I haven't seen much about moils and foreskin.
Oh no! But there is like there's a fan fiction, I guess, but like there's a erotic art thing. Like there's a whole subsection that's all around like gigantic penises that are larger than you could do anything with. So like one of the ones I thought was like the funniest is like. Just this guy with it's so large. He has a normal sized body, but the testicles and penis are so large that like they just kind of sit on the ground, and then the other person is like wrapped around it, like I don't know, like a fireman pole or something.
Wow.
But and it's just like, wait, what would you even do? What could you even do?
Wow. I'm used to seeing that with animated characters.
Yeah. Oh well. That's probably what it was. Because this was definitely one of the things I saw on 4chan.
Yeah.
Rule 34 and all. Yeah. I don't know if it was like a specific character. I didn't recognize them.
Mm.
Like it wasn't, you know, shitting dick nipples or anything.
A classic.
It actually is. There are people out there who know exactly what I'm talking about, and what's weirder, the weirder thing about it is it's like a specific character from Guilty Gear 2 or one of the sequels.
Am I going to have to look this up for the show notes?
It's no, don't. Okay. Don't. But it's just weird because it's that specific character, but also like, you know, drawn morbidly obese and then, you know, also penises for nipples that are shitting.
Mm. And it there was, you go. Checkmate, atheists.
That's right.
Uh-uh. Oh. Where's your natural selection now?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I was just going to say, actually, it completely disproves intelligent design, but...
Yeah, it's true.
We know how the eye formed.
Now it's that God mystery. Is dead, there's an opening.
No.
So that was Amber's final thought?
That was Amber's final
what
thought.
What was my final thought?
Whatever got nipples. Us onto okay. all of this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a cult leader of immortality.
Nice. Good job.
It's not as great as you think.
No.
You're going to get bored really
and
fast.
You're probably going to get killed.
Yeah. It's statistically
True.
Likely.
True.
Yeah. I don't know any...
Fine.
Well,
I won't be...
Well,
I'll
just don't
be
stockpile
a cult,
weapons.
I'll just be another cult member.
No.
And, like, have a... Like, someone else... be the leader, but I'm really the leader.
No, you can't. I don't know, man.
I've seen
work.
Iron Man 3. I see where you're going with this. It's
yeah.
not going to work out.
Iron Man
yeah,
3.
No. It's way harder to like subvert those than you think it would be.
Yeah.
You'd have to break away and start a splinter group.
My final thought is: don't feel like you have to be in a relationship if you're a teenager. Discover the world. Make out with people. You don't need to be in a relationship. You
right.
figure yourself out. Maybe that involves dating somebody, but don't take it too seriously.
Right. And above all, like learn how your bits work and learn how the bits of the person you want to be with work.
Lube and is pretty cheap and it's
yes.
way better. Like, don't with hand soap. Don't
no,
all the
no,
time. You'll get
no
an infection.
Soap.
Don't.
Yeah, I got one.
Yes.
Use Google and don't feel guilty.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's just a good catchphrase.
Incognito mode. Incognito mode. That's why it's there.
Yes. Yes. And Planned Parenthood for the love. Just be safe, I guess, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
You know, have your fun, but.
Safe, sane, and consensual.
There you go. That
Sounds
works.
Good.
Do all the things.
Daniel, final thoughts.
Huh. So the Eldrazi deck I've been trying to put together for the last 2 years, like it turns out that it already has an archetype. It's just called Cloud Post, and I already have like most of the components for it. So, you know, I'm gonna do that pretty soon.
Yeah. So I mean, if you can't get in a relationship, start collecting cards.
Oh yeah, yes. Start collecting cards for a game that you play maybe once or twice a year because you know you don't know anybody that plays also.
Also, get hermit
fill the
crabs.
Void. Fill the void with hobbies. Oh, Mad Max comes out on September 1st, the video game.
Yay!
Oh, I'll link that in the show notes.
So yes, no, those are my final thoughts.
Okay.
Consume.
Consume. Obey. Goodbye, fellow listeners.
Maybe the Moyle shouldn't be a vampire dick sucker.